أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, in the matan, now we get to where the muallif talks about the furud of wudu. What is the furud? Is those things that are fard. So we talked about every ibadah has its own things that are mustahab, that are fard. Sometimes wajib is slightly different, sometimes, but even though yani in essence wajib and fard are the same. So regarding wudu, yani with everything is different. For example, in salah we have arkan of salah, then we have wajibat of salah, then we have sunan. Tayyib. Arkan and wajibat in salah are all obligatory. I mean, those are, they're all fard in a way, but there is difference between if you make a mistake, how do you deal with it? Same thing in wudu. In wudu you have furud, yani those things that are fard. If you leave those out, even unintentionally, the wudu is invalid. Tayyib. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Six of them, inshallah. Then you have one wajib. And what's the difference here regarding wudu? Yani I don't want you to take this and use it in other ibadat. Every ibadah has its own. Yani for example, hajj is different, and arkan of hajj and things like this. The wajib here is a tasmiya, which is to say bismillah. And that is wajib, meaning if you leave it out intentionally, your wudu is invalid. And we discussed the adilla of that in the last dars. But if you left it out unintentionally, you just forgot it, you didn't think about it, you made wudu, and then you realized after your wudu is done, you don't have to repeat your wudu. That's a tasmiya, that's wajib. We already talked about the sunan of wudu as well. These things are furud. They are very important. This dars is fardul ayn on every Muslim. What does that mean? To know what is obligatory that you cannot miss. Even if you miss one of these on accident, it invalidates your wudu. If your wudu is invalid, then your salah is invalid. So this is why it's very important. Most people don't know these. Unfortunately, they think they know them. Like if you ask me what are the furud of wudu, people say four things: to wash the face, to wipe the head, the arms, and the feet. But then if you ask them, like, what about the nose and mouth? They're like, no, not really. Well, are they? What about the ears? So they don't really know. And that's why this is very important for you to know and to pass this knowledge on to others. فَقَالَ الْمُؤَلِّفُ, the author here, Musa al-Hajjawi, said, الْفُرُودُهُ, يعني, the furud of wudu, sittatun, يعني, they are six. طيب. What are they? غسل الوجه, يعني to wash the face. والفم والأنف منه, and the mouth and the nose is from it. What does it mean? To wash the face is obligatory. It is fard in wudu, and the mouth and nose is from the face. We'll talk about the adilla here, inshallah. First, I'm just explaining what is it. وَالْغَسْلُ الْيَدَيْنِ, and to wash the two arms. It's not the two hands like kaf, the kaf, kafain. This is mustahab in the beginning of wudu when you wash these and then do the mouth and nose and so on. That's mustahab. But to wash the arms from the tip of the finger to the elbows, including the elbow, this is obligatory. This is fard. طيب. وَمَسْحُ رَأْسِ, and to make masha on the head. And the masha on the head, as we'll discuss inshallah, I'm just summarizing here, is to make masha of the entire head. Unless you're wearing the imama and you put it on in a state of wudu, then you can make masha on the part of the head and continue on the imama, or make it strictly on the imama. We'll talk about that under the masha of imama, but I'm just explaining the mas'ala, suratul mas'ala. وَمِنْهُ الْأُدْنَانِ, and from the head are the two ears. What does it mean? To make masha of the two ears is fard. Why? Because the muallif is saying it's a part of the head. Again, we'll discuss the proofs in khilaf. Just understand the mas'ala first. وَالْغَسْلُ الرِّجْلَيْنِ, and to wash the two feet. And that includes the ka'bain. Well, inshallah, we'll discuss this. These are four so far. وَالْتَرْتِيبُهُ, يعني, and the tartib, the order of wudu is fard. You cannot do it out of order. You cannot go and make masha of the head and then do madmada and istinshaq and then wash your face and then wash your feet and then wash the arms, even though you got the stuff, but it's out of order. So the order of wudu is obligatory. And this is very important. Why? Some people think, oh, I make my niyyah for wudu and I just walk through rain and I have wudu. No. And there is an order of what to wash. And if you're walking through rain, you can make wudu in the rain, but then you have to wash those parts of the body in that order. That is fard. Well, muwala, yani mumualatu, yani, and to do it in a continuous manner, continuity. And the muallif explains what that means, and inshallah we'll explain when we get there. But let's get to at least memorizing these six. The face, fard, this is obligatory. You cannot leave. If you left it out on accident, you gotta redo your wudu. If you left it out on purpose, you gotta redo your wudu. So, to wash the face and do the madmada and stinchak, washing the mouth and nose is from it. To wash the arms all the way to the elbows, including the elbows. To make mashaf the entire head and to wipe over the ears, that's a part of it. And to wash the feet, including the ankles, that's a part of it. To do it in the proper order, this is the fifth, and to do it in a continuous manner, this is the sixth. Okay? This is just the Surah Al-Mas'ala. Now we get into the issue of Adilla and Khilaf. Tayyib, the entire fiqh of wudu is based around one ayah from the Quran itself, which is in Surah Al-Ma'idah. It's the sixth ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. O you who believe, if you stand to pray, yani before the salah, what do you have to do? فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسُحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. أَرْجُلُكُمْ has come with a fatha al-lam. So this ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, this tells us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us in the Quran. Now, if it's an amr in the Quran, it's an order. فَغْسِلُوا فِي الْعَمْرِ. That means it's obligatory. This lays down the obligation. Tayyib, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order us? Oh, you who believe, if you come to stand for salah, then wash. فَغْسِلُوا, wash. Not to make mas'ha, but to wash. Wash wujuhakum. Wujuhakum, you have to notice something now having to do with the Arabic language. This is maf'ul bihi. This is what is being done. So what is being washed? The face. So on the end of the actual word, wajh, on the ha, there is a fatha. Tayyib. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wash your faces. Wa'aydiyakum. And your arms, إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, to the elbows. But he didn't say, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَغْسِلُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ, like wash your faces and wash your... No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wash your faces and your arms. The and, عَطْف, makes أَيْدِيَ, ya, أَيْدِي, the two arms, the ya, end of the word, has a fatha as well. This is ma'tuf on waj, yani it connects those two orders. So when Allah subhanahu says wash the face and the arms, that means both of these have to be washed. إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, up to the elbows. Tayyib. وَمْسُحُ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something different, not فَغْسِلُوا, but وَمْسُحُ, to make masha. Masha means to wipe over something. بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, the B is very important, the ba here with al-kasra, and this is harf al-jar, so رُؤُوسِ. The seen, the end of the word head, has a kasra, unlike the earlier two that had al-fatha because of the ba. So what is the hukam for the head? That you make masha. The ba here, it represents the whole head. And we'll explain that, inshallah, with adilla. Tayyib. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ, and your feet, إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, up to and including the ankles. Tayyib. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَغْسِلُوا, wash the face and the arms, and then make masha, to just wipe over the head, وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ, and your feet. Now he didn't say, فَغْسِلُوا أَرْجُلَكُمْ, or وَغْسِلُوا, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, wash your feet. So some of the people, like the Rafida, the misguided sect, they said, you just make masha on the feet, you just wipe over the feet, you don't wash them. And they said, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to wash the face and arms, and then he says to make masha of the head and feet, because of the and here, a wow. This means that you connect the feet to the head, you only wipe over them. And you'll see them, if they're making wudu, they just wipe over the foot instead of washing it. And this is a mistake from many perspectives, but I'll just give two. The first and foremost, if you look at the i'rab of this ayah, in the majority of the qira'at, arju lakum. If it was atf biru sikum, it would be arju likum, because the lam would then have to have kasra for atf to be ma'tuf. But since it's not, this means this is ma'tuf on the aydiyakum and wujuhakum. That means it has to be washed as well. The masha is only for the head, according to the linguistics here. And this is the qira'at, this is the recitation of Yaqub and Hafs, Ibn Amir and Nafi' and Kisa'i. All of them, their recitation is like this. Now, there are qurra like Ibn Kathir and Abu Amr and Hamza and Khalf and Abu Ja'far, whose qira'at does have arjulikum. Tayyib? But what is the meaning of that? The ayat of Quran are explained by the af'al of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the actions and aqwal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you go through all of the ahadith, if he didn't have either a jawrab or a khuf, either a sock or a leather sock on his foot, he washed his feet. And he ordered the sahaba to do so, and they did that. So this means that the meaning of the ayah is to wash. This is explained from linguistics and the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there is an exception when you can wipe, but this is explained through the other qira'at and through the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is for when you are either wearing al-khuf, yani the leather sock, or al-jawrab, that meets the requirement of the jawrab, the other types of socks, and you put them on in a state of tahara, then you can wipe over them. And this is the beauty of the Quran and the qira'at and the depth of the ayat. They explain so much, and the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explain the ayat of Quran. He was the walking Quran. Tayyib, this ayah lays out four essential things, but there is more than those in it. Tayyib, what does it lay out? Washing the face, washing the arms up to and including the elbows, wiping over the head, and washing the feet up to and including the ankles. And most of the ulama, they gave this opinion. And if you look at the Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, and if you look at Al-Hidayah or the Fath Al-Qadir or Mukhtasar Al-Quduri from the Hanafi books, or if you look at Mukhtasar Al-Khalil or the Sharh of it, Sharh Al-Kabir, and so on. And we'll talk about these books inshallah as well. If you look at Mudawwana and the Malakiyya, and you look at the Shawafi'a, if you look at Majmu' of Al-Nabawi or Al-Umm of Al-Mashafi himself, if you look at the Hanabila, if you look at Al-Insaf or Muntaha Al-Iradat and Al-Ghaya and Mutalib and all these books, you find these across the board, that all of the ulema agree on this, from the Quran itself, from the Sahih Ahadith, from the Ijma' of the ulema. You can find this. So we don't need to discuss much about these. But now we get into some issues of disagreement. Tayyib, five things here, no doubt. Tayyib, first, face, arms, head, feet. Everybody agrees. Good. The fifth, because these are four, is a tartib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained a particular order in the Quran. Tayyib. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consistently followed that order and ordered the Sahaba to have that order. So this tells us that tartib is also fard. Tayyib. Now we get into the issue of al-madmada and istinshaq, which is to put the water in the mouth and the nose. What is the hukam on that? There is some khilaf of ulema, and I looked up the books of the different madahib, and I want to mention their aqwal. According to the jamhur al-ulema, the majority of the ulema, including the Hanafiyya, the Malikiyya, and the Shawafi'a, يعني شافعية. If we look at the أقوال of these three مذاهب, they say that مضمضة, to put mouth water in the mouth, and استنشاق, to put water in the nose, is not فرض. This is مستحب. And يعني I'm going to give some references إن شاء الله تعالى. For the Hanafi madhab, I looked up the work, very famous work, Al-Asl. يعني this is one of the groundbreaking works of the Hanafi books. Mabsut, also well known. Fath al-Qadir of Ibn Hammam. Al-Hidayah, Mukhtas al-Quduri, and so on. And this is the Mu'tamid opinion, as Ibn Abidin and others have also mentioned in their books, of the Hanafi madhab, that it's mustahab. Tayyib. For the Maliki madhab, al-Mudawwana, al-Tamheed, which I have, the other books of Ibn Abd al-Barr, as the Sharh of Muwatta, a couple of shelves behind me. All of them, they also mention this to be the opinion of al-Malik, Imam Malik. Mukhtasar al-Khalil is a very, very important book of the Maliki fiqh that I usually go to, and then an explanation of it called Sharh al-Kabir of Daydir, al-Daydir, and he wrote an explanation of this Mu'tamid book. And also Al-Kafi, and not Al-Kafi of Ibn Qudama, but Al-Kafi fi al-Fiqh Ahlul Medina, and this is Al-Hafiz, Hafiz Yusuf Al-Qurtabi, not the Mufassir of Quran, but the Maliki Faqih. So all of these books of the Maliki also say the same thing. For the Shafi'i Madhab, I looked up Al-Umm of Imam Shafi'i himself, and Muhaddab, and its sharh called Al-Majmu'a fi Sharh Al-Muhaddab of Al-Nawwi, and Rawdat Al-Talibin, which is a book that I studied in Shafi'i Fiqh, and I go back to look at the Mu'tamid, the Minhaj, and other books of the Shafi'i Fiqh also mention the same thing. That is Mustahab. Tayyib. The second qawl amongst the ulama of Islam, and that is that of the Hanabila, is that the madmada and istinshaq, putting water in the mouth and nose, it's fard, as we mentioned in the matan of Zad al-Mustaqni'. This is obligatory. And this is the madhab, this is the mu'tamid opinion of the Hanabila. As I looked up in al-Mukni', yani the famous book of Ibn Qudama, and in al-Kafi, in al-Mughni, in al-Umda, and all of those books of Ibn Qudama, al-Muharrar of Majduddin, Sharh al-Kabir, which is the reorganization of al-Mukni', by Shamsuddin al-Maqdisi, Sharh al-Zarkashi, which is a Sharh of Mukhtasar al-Khiraqi of Imam al-Zarkashi, the famous Muhaddid, al-Furu' of Ibn Muflih, and al-Insaf, al-Mirdawi, al-Muntaha al-Iradat, and Sharh al-Muntaha of Buyuti, and al-Ikna', and Kashf al-Kina'. All of these books, again, they mention that the Mu'tamid, the relied upon opinion of the Hanabila, is they are fard. Now, what does that tell you? This is from the Mufradat of the Madhab. This is the unique opinions of the Hanabila that the other Madhahib did not take, that Madmada and Istinshaq are Fard. Tayyib. Now we get into Adilla. So the first proof we can discuss is the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah. It's the sixth ayah. Tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains washing the face. Is the nose and mouth part of the face? If you look at the Arabic language, and if you were hit on your nose, Daraba, يعني somebody hit على أنف أو فم, or you were hit on the mouth. Would you say they were hit on the face? Yes, that is correct. Tayyib, meaning what is the face? The face is made up of the nose, the mouth, the cheek, the forehead, and so on. That those things are not independent of the face, they are a part of the face. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained washing of the face, the mouth and nose are included in that. This is the first dalil. But you could make an argument against it. You could, yani the other imma and ulama, and the jamhur al-ulama said, well, what is meant in the ayah is the external parts of the face. Putting water in the mouth and nose is not part of the ayah. Tayyib. So when we have a discussion about the meaning of the Quran, where do we go for the proof? We have to go to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the explanation of the Quran. So when we go to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are a few adilla we have to look at. First and foremost, we have many ahadith about wudu, right? Hadith of Uthman radiyallahu anhu and others, all of them mention madmana istinshaq. So this is something that the ulama of the Hanabila put forward. But Now, the other imma and ulema refuted that, saying, well, that's the action of the Prophet ﷺ does not necessitate wujub. It necessitates that it is sunnah because only the action. Tayyib. The next dalil is that, and again, I'm summarizing actually from many of the adillah I looked at for this dars, but inshallah, it will be something of beneficial. There is the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam where he did the wudu everything only once. And in the mouth, the nose, the face, the head, the arms, the feet, everything just once. And then he said, هذا الوضوء الذي لا يقبل الله الصلاة إلا به. That this is the wudu and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept the salah except with this. Tayyib. And this hadith is reported by Ibn Majah. Dar-Qutni has it in his Sunan, and Imam al-Bayhaqi in this book behind me, Sunan al-Kabir, and many other a'imma and ulama have mentioned it. Imam al-Ibn Mundir, which is again behind me as well, in al-Awsat. Tayyib. So this is a dalil that the Hanabila put forward, that Rasulullah made wudu, and he did madmada and istinshaq, and he wiped over the ears, for example, all of that. And then he said, this is the wudu that Allah will not accept the salah except with this. And it's the minimum. These are the obligatory aspects of wudu. So if you say this is only sunnah, then that would go against the wording of the hadith. Tell you about the other a'imma and ulama came back and they pointed out some weaknesses in the sanad. Some of the a'imma and ulama strengthened the hadith. Some of them sought it to be weak because of some issues. I'm not going to go deep into that. Let's just look at the other adillah, because we don't really need to go deep into this due to the other adillah on this issue. Tayyib. The next dalil is mentioned in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He ordered Sulaiman ibn Musa. He mentions mursalan in a mursal manner. Man tawaddu, whoever makes wudu, fal yatamadmad. They should perform madmada and istinshaq. So here they said this is an order. The answer the other imam gave to this, they said this hadith is mursal, so this is a form of weakness. Tayyib. Then we look at the other rawayat from Ibn Sabra. Rasulullah said that when you make wudu, then you must do madmada. Ida tawaddu fa madmad. This is in order. If you make wudu, you must do the madmad to put the water in the mouth. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and other imam and ulama in their books. Including Al-Bayhaqi in Sunan Al-Kabir and other books. Imam Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Asqalani in Fath Al-Bari, he says this Nadahu Sahih. In Nail Al-Awthar, Al-Shawkani also accepts this as a Hujjah, as a Sahih Hadith. So here you have an order from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not just the action, but the order, which shows wujub. This shows that this is obligatory, this is fard. Tayyib. But there are other adillah, and again, I'm summarizing, but I do want to explain this because this is from the mufradat, and people sometimes say, oh, we just go the jamhur. But in actuality, this is the correct mas'ala, even if it is from the mufradat of the Hanabila. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, as reported by Dar-Qutni in his Sunan, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amara bi madmada wa istinshaq. This is that verily Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the madmada and istinshaq. And there is again some discussion on the sanad of this hadith, but looking at the earlier hadith, this definitely shows another level of support from the sahih hadith earlier. Then there is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that Imam Ad-Darqutni is also mentioned in his sunan, where Rasulullah again ordered that if you make wudu, fa tamadmadu, then you should be making madmada wa istinshaqu, and then you should be, and this is jam'a, it's order, you should also be putting the water in your nose. Now, once again, this hadith has some khilaf on the sanad, but it shows a concept that goes through many different ahadith. Tayyib, looking through the vast majority of these riwayat, there is some weaknesses in them. But there are ahadith, as we mentioned earlier, that are independently authentic on the subject. And because of that, taking that hadith in consideration, which is the hadith that we mentioned from the Sunan of Abi Dawud and Ibn Hajar Asqalani, great to be sahih. And then looking at the majmu'ah, yani looking all of those other supporting ahadith, many of them have also been graded as sahih, but even if you take the weaknesses, they no doubt support are supported by this sahih, independently sahih narration. We say that no doubt, through many ahadith, it is established that the Prophet ﷺ ordered for the madmada and istinshaq. Another rawayah where Rasulullah ﷺ ordered istinthar, which is to put the water out of the nose, which is the same as putting water in, because if you are taking water out, that means you put the water in. Hence, looking at these ahadith, these yani orders from the Prophet ﷺ explain the ayah of the Quran and tell us that the correct mas'ala is that madmada, to put water in the mouth, and istinshaq, istintar, to put water in the nose and to take it out, this is from the furud, from the fard aspects of wudu. Tayyib? Whether you number these separately or put them with the face doesn't really matter, but this is fard. If we could find a dalil that shows that Rasulullah left it out, like sometimes he did it, sometimes he didn't, that would be a dalil, but we don't have that. Rather, what do we have is an order in the Quran for the face, and linguistically the mouth and nose is included. Many, many ahadith, including independently sahih ahadith and other supporting ahadith, the Rasulullah ordered it, ordered the Sahaba that you must do it. Ahadith where Rasulullah did it and said this is the minimum that's acceptable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no hadith that Rasulullah ever left it. There's no qareena here, there's no exception here. So what is correct is that even if you're in extreme rush, if you're making wudu, you're not doing tayammum, you're making wudu, you must do madmada and istinshaq included as the washing of the face. Tayyib? Many people, they're like, I'm doing the minimum wudu, and they leave it out. Their wudu is invalid. If they didn't know, Allah will forgive them, but if they could have learned, and it's important. Tayyib. Now, continuing on with the masail where there is some khilaf. So we mentioned yani washing the face, including madman istinshaq, is discussed. Washing the arm, there's no khilaf on this. And all of the imma agree that you need to wash the whole arm. And I will get into some tafsil under sifat al-wudu, under the description of the wudu. But yani being obligatory, there's no khilaf on it. But when we get to washing the head, they were making are making masha, wiping over the head. There is some disagreement amongst the ulema of how much must be wiped. According to the Shafi'i madhab, that even if you just wipe over a couple of hairs, I mean, some of the Shafi'i said one hair, some said three hairs, but even just a few of the hairs like this, that would be enough. This is the Shafi'i madhab. For this dars, I looked into the different books of the Shafi'i madhab. And I found some disagreement even amongst them about one hair or two hairs here. But again, meaning just a couple of hairs would be enough. And this is what I found in Al-Umm from Al-Shafi'i, the discussion himself. And in Muhaddab and the Sharh Majmu'ah of Imam al-Nawwi and Rawdat al-Talibin and so other books, they mention this. So this is the Shafi'i Madhab. According to the Hanafi Madhab, you have to do 1/4. You have to make mas'haf at least 1/4 of the head like this. And then this would be the enough for the obligatory aspect. The Hanabila and the Maliki and the Hanbali Madahib, they said you have to wipe over the entire head. The only exception there is if you're wearing an imama. This is the imama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wore the imama and he made masha on the imama. The Hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim described that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made masha on a part of the head and then continued on the imama. So what does that tell you? That if a part of the head is exposed, then you make masha on that part and you continue on the imama. The Hadith of Bilal radiallahu anhu and the Hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu and others tell us that if your imama covers your entire head, then you could even make masha just on the imama. The imama is something that has a special status regarding this. You cannot do that with qulanswa, or what's called a kufi, or a topi, or just a hat. If you go to all of the kutub of the madahib al-arba' and dahiri and other, you cannot make, if you're just wearing a kufi, as they say, which is actually called qulanswa, just a cap, you cannot make mas on it. If you're wearing a shimag or a ghutra, you cannot make mas on it. If you go look at any of the books of the imma and ulama of the madhahib and the imma of this the religion, like Imam Ibn Uthaymeen and others, when they discuss this, so the shimag, you cannot make mas on it. But the imama, you can. And there's something mentioned in many ahadith. We'll discuss it under the bab of masha. But what is the hukam here? If you're not wearing an imama, or you didn't put the imama on in a state of tahara, then you must make masha of the entire head according to the Malikiyah and the Hanabila. And again, you can look up Mukhtasar al-Khalil and its Sharh called Sharh al-Kabir and al-Kafi and other books of the Maliki Madhab, Mudawwana and others. And for the Hanabila, I looked at the book Al-Furu' and Al-Insaf and Al-Mughni of Ibn Qudama. And Zadul Mustaqni, the book we're studying, is also a book of the Hanbali Madhab. But I looked at also Sharh al-Muntaha and Kashf al-Kina and other books that are relied upon, Mutalib and others that are relied upon books, Ghaya of Mur ibn Yusuf, and all of them mention this as the opinion of the Hanabila. Tayyib. So now we have three opinions. One, the Shafi'i, only a couple of hairs or hair, one hair or three hairs. Second, the Hanafiya, that said 1/4 of the head. And the Maliki and the Hanabila, they both agreed that the entire head. Where is the Adilla? Tayyib, one of the books that I found very interesting about this is the book called Sharh al-Mumti' ala Zad al-Mustakni of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. He mentioned something that when you look at the Quran itself, وَمْسُحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and I mentioned the B is very important. In the Arabic language, this ba does not come for ba'id, ba'd, yani tab'id. It does not come for some. And he mentioned this to be mentioned as the opinion of some of the greatest scholars of the Arabic language, like Ibn Burhan, who said, مَنْ زَعْمَ أَنَّ الْبَا تأتي باللغة العربية للتبعيد فقد أخطأ. طيب, he said, Ibn Burhan, the great scholar of Arabic language, he said, whoever says that ba, the letter B, comes for a part in the Arabic language, for a part of something, has just clearly made a mistake. In my research, I also found that As-Saibawi and other a'imma and ulama also held this view, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen has mentioned. So the Qur'an itself, بِرُوسِكُمْ, means the entire head. Tayyib, but if you argue the point here, is this is just a linguistic explanation, where is the dalil? Well, it's okay. We go to the Mufassir of the Qur'an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sharh, the explanation of the ayat. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever make masha of just one hair and two hairs and three hairs like the Shafi'i said? No. Never. No hadith for that. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make masha of just a part of the head and not finish on the imama? I mean, he didn't wear an imama, he just made on 1/4 like the Hanafi say? No. In fact, the hadith that they mention in Al-Hidayah, in Fath Al-Qadir of Imam Ibn Hammam, he says that this hadith is a mistake. The hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'ba is that Rasulullah made masha on a part of the head and then continued on the imama. Not just a part of the head. In Al-Hidayah, they dropped the part of the imama and they said, oh look, Rasulullah made masha only on 1/4 of the rub' of the head. No. The nasiya. No. Look at the hadith in Sahih Muslim. Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiallahu anhu, in the hadith that's in Sahih Muslim that they mention, he says, masha Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah made masa of nasiyatihi, yani on his front lobe or front part, wa ala al-imama, and on the imama. So that means that the imama, if it's further back, you make masa on the part that's open, and then you continue on the imama. You can't drop the word imama and take it out of the hadith. There is no sanadan with a chain report that doesn't mention the imama and mentions only the nasiyah. And the Hanafi ulama like Fath al-Qadir and Az-Zailai and others have pointed this out. So that means that's also an incorrect opinion. Rather, what we see is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would either make masha of the entire head, unless he was wearing the imama. So if you're making the imama, then it's like masha on the jawrabain or on the khuffain or on the imama. That's a different issue. But otherwise, the entire head was always wiped, and this is what's in accordance to the Arabic language, as the ayah of Quran, بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, has mentioned, and this is according to the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So masha should be done on the entire head. Tayyib, now the last mas'ala I will deal with today, وَمِنْهُ الْأُدْنَانِ. As we mentioned, that from it are the ears, meaning that you make mas'ah of the ears. This is also from the wiping over the ears, is also from the obligatory aspects of wudu according to the Hanabila. So here you have khilaf as well. طيب. There is the Jamhur al-Ulema, like the Hanafiya, and the Malikiya, and the Shawafi'a, who said that يعني, the wiping over the ears, there is some khilaf between them as well. But يعني, if you talk about the wiping of the ears, then this is something that is mustahab. And then there is the opinion that the wiping of the ears in wudu is wajib, is fard, and this is the mu'tamid opinion of the Hanbali madhab, as mentioned in all of the relied upon books that I've mentioned earlier. So now you have khilaf, you have the Jamhur al-Ulema that said the wiping of the ears, this is mustahab, this is not fard. طيب. And you have the Hanabila in the mufradat of the madhab as well, again, in the unique opinion of the Hanabila, they said no, the wiping of the ears is obligatory, it's fard. طيب. Now, where is the dalil? The first dalil, and this rawaya has a large number of narrations, and I spent a lot of time on takhrij of it, I'm not going to go deep into it, which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-udnan min al-ras, that the ears are a part of the head. A lot of khilaf on this rawaya, even though it's mentioned from a large number of sahaba and tabi'un and others after them. But I will mention a couple of things. As it's reported in at-Tirmidhi, and Imam at-Tirmidhi graded to be Hassan, a reliable narration. The Muhakkik, the great scholar, Ahmed Shakir, he also graded to be Sahih. Ibn Majah has also reported it. Al-Baythuri and others in their Zawa'id and their Takhrij have graded the riwayah from Ibn Majah to be Hassan. Sheikh al-Albani in his book Silsila Ahadith al-Sahih had discussed it in great depth and graded to be Sahih, to be graded to be authentic. I myself looked through the different narrations and I found some shudud, some da'af here, but there are such a large number. And no doubt, as Ibn Kathir, Ibn Hajar and other scholars have said, that there is an asal here, there is a base to this. And at minimum, you can say it's Hassan li ghayrihi, but yani, I would suggest that it is closer to being sahih li ghayrihi. It is a reliable narration. And what does that tell you? That the ears are a part of the head. Even if you look at the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the majority of the hadith, when he made mas'ah of the head, he also used the same water to make mas'ah of the ears, as we discussed in the earlier dars. And that tells you that if it was water that was left over from one part to the next, you could not use it, because that water would be tahir, no longer tahur. And because he used that leftover water for the ears, it also shows that this is a part of the head, which means the hukm of the head from the Quran is applicable upon the ears. And this is something that is fard to do in wudu, to wipe over the ears. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan.